In a few days, we'll be wishing each other Happy New Year. What does that mean? How can we have a Happy New Year? What is happiness? What is true happiness? Something to consider at the end of a year, the start of a new one. Many things can bring us happiness. Education, friends, family, careers. The list goes on. Some things on that list are good. Some things are not so good. We can make one thing our source of happiness and kind of put all our eggs in one basket sometimes. But what happens when that one thing falls apart? When something happens and our source of happiness fails in some way? We can diversify and I'll put my happiness in different places. That way, if one falls, I've still got others to look at. There is one place we can look that is sure, that will not fail. If we focus on this one thing, we are certain to truly have a Happy New Year. Not always in the way that we think, not always in the way that we want, but happiness can come. We're looking at the book of Matthew. We're going to take a little break this week and next week and look at Psalm 1. But Matthew talks about this. In Matthew 5, we have what we call the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they that, for they will be. There are several of those in that chapter. Matthew 6 says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where our treasure is, our heart will be. Our happiness will be found. How do we store treasures in heaven? Psalm 1 starts with, how blessed is the man or woman? How happy. True blessing, true happiness can only be found, I believe, as we delight ourselves in God and His Word. Let's pray as we look into Psalm 1 today. Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for Your Word, that it is truth. Father, as we bring one year to an end, or as You bring one year to an end and start another year, Lord, teach us what it means to be happy. Give us understanding of Your Word. Work in our hearts today. Bring us closer to You. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my challenges for you as we enter a new year is to memorize Psalm 1. So we're going to start on that today. There's a table in the fellowship hall right inside the door. There's a whole bunch of papers on there. One of those papers is a copy of Psalm 1. It's free. You can take it home and study it. We're going to try in 1 month, by the end of the month, to be able to say all of Psalm 1. It's only 6 verses, so it's not real long. We can do it, right? Mm-hmm. But that's where we're going to start, is Psalm 1. And it does start with how blessed is the man. Can you say that with me 3 times? We got the words on the bottom. Ready? How blessed is the man. How blessed is the man. How blessed is the man. Okay, we got that down. That's easy, right? Okay, blessing. What does that mean? We hear it a lot today. It is connected with happiness, but it's more than just superficial happiness. It's moral, mental, physical well-being is what this word is talking about. We have, as believers, the secret to true happiness. Real happiness, real joy. That sense inside of us that even when things fall apart, we have an anchor that we can hold on to. How do we get this? Sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? Happy New Year. Let's get this happiness. Well, this psalm helps us understand. It has some things for us to do, and it has some things for us not to do. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Again, it starts with what will not bring us blessing, what will not bring us happiness. Happiness comes by avoiding the wicked, is what it says. And the idea there is not so much people that do bad things, but it's people that have rejected God. Those who have little or no time for God, the people who have ruled God out of their lives. The ungodly have a different way of life. They walk in the counsel of the wicked. They stand in the path of sinners. They sit in the seat of scoffers. The ideas and philosophies of those who have rejected God don't bring us happiness. Ray Stedman put it this way, this philosophy of the ungodly. He said, it's me first, get it now, and nothing bad's going to happen. I thought that was an interesting way to look at how the world views things. Me first, what I want, what makes me happy, what I deserve. And I deserve it now. We have microwaves, we have fast food, we have instant things. We want it now. And nothing bad will happen. A life centered on God rejects these ideas. It's not a life focused on me, not on what I can get, what makes me happy. It's a life focused on God, and that seems so backwards. If I want to be happy, I need to focus on me, right? And doing what will bring me happiness. That's not what the Word says. Blessing, happiness comes when we focus on God and the reality of who He is. Happiness comes from Him, not from ourselves. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Okay, that's one of the negatives we start with. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Can we go to the next one and we'll read? Let's read the bottom twice. How's that? Two times. Okay? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Once more. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. The path of these people is with the wicked. Walking along. The goal of their life is headed in a different direction. They walk along on a path that's contrary to what God wants. They walk with those who do not delight themselves in God. They love the things of the world. They're not seeking God's counsel or godly fellowship. Walking with and accompanying those that don't seek the Lord. Listening to what they have to say, following their directions and their counsel. Walking a path away from God. That's number one, don't do. Okay, don't walk down that path. Then we get to the next one. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners. They're walking down that road. They're moving in a direction that is wrong. It's away from God, and they stand. Let's read this. We'll do it once this time. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners. Now, this isn't making a stand. I'm going to stand and do this. But it is being with them. It has the idea of being together. Our term would be today hanging out together. Hanging out with sinners. Being with them. Being together. The place you spend your time. Where do you go and stand around? Where do you hang out? If you hang out with ungodly people, guess what happens? We pick up on them. We pick up on their ideas, their philosophies. The word for sinners here is actually for making a loud noise. It's the idea of provoking a riot, creating a disturbance, making trouble. Hanging out with noisy troublemakers. is something we need to avoid. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Let's go back to three times, okay? Ready? Psalm 1:1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Let's read the bottom line first. This will be number two. Nor sit in the seat of scoffers, up one, nor stand in the path of sinners, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. How blessed is the man. That's kind of weird. Okay, forward. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. They're walking along, going on their path away from God. They're standing, they're hanging out with sinners. And then it says, sitting with the scoffers. Those that point their fingers, why are you guys here today? What are you doing in this building? You could be home in your nice warm houses, in your pajamas. Why are you here? Looking at this book, do you know how old that book is? The New Testament's 2,000, the Old Testament's around 3,000, and we're studying it like it's important. That's a scoffer. Don't sit with them. Do you see the progression? They're walking, they stop, and they sit. Turning away from God, the source of their happiness. Some of you may have heard of a West Side Story. It's a musical. It was written by Leonard Bernstein, I think in the 60s. It's about gangs in New York. It's a kind of a modern day Romeo and Juliet, except I don't think both of them die in the end. I think only one. Yeah. Okay. It's the gangs. And there's Officer Krumpke. Is one of the songs talks, the kids are talking with this policeman. And what they do is they blame their problems. They call it a social disease. The words part of it, dear kindly Sergeant Krumpke, you got to understand, it's just our bringing up that gets us out of hand. It's their fault. It's not my fault. It's my parents' fault. You know, there's always somebody else you can blame, right? Scoffing, ridiculing, making fun, jeering, sneering. My thesaurus strikes again. Mocking, ridiculing, laughing at. Scoffing at the godly. Scoffing at believers. The Bible is often scoffed at today, looked down on. Christianity in general. The self-centered, ungodly person walks in the counsel of those who ignore and deny God, stands with noisy, troublemaking people, sits and scoffs, looks down on, blames God's word and God's people. That's the bad part. That's the do not do this part. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Then we get to verse 2. But this is what we do. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the difference. They're not, I just forgot it, walking in the path of sinners, standing. I did that wrong. Walking in the counsel of the wicked, or standing in the path of sinners, or sitting in the seat of scoffers. They are delighting in God's word. A lady wrote once that her three children love to get up early, can't imagine that, and watch out the window for the garbage truck. They took great delight in watching the waste hauler empty the can, then work the lever which caused the truck to compact the trash. On the morning of her 35th birthday, her husband said to the children with a smile, "Kids, do you know what makes today so special?" She shouldn't have been surprised when her 5-year-old went running to the door. "It's garbage day! It's garbage day!" The delight of kids celebrated Christmas. The delight in their eyes as they opened packages, as they watched that trash truck smash the boxes. That's the delight we should have in our hearts for God's Word. Are we delighted with it? Does it bring us, is that the most important thing of the day when we get up? To delight in His Word. Don't walk, don't stand, don't sit. Do delight. Delight in His Word. Let's read it together. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." Delighting in God's law. Now, when David wrote this psalm, he was referring specifically, when he said to God's law, to the Torah, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Specifically, we can apply that to all of Scripture, to delight in the Word of God. More than just those first 5 books, but including those books. God's revelation to us, revealing the truth about who we are, sinners in need of salvation. The truth about who God is, the one who sent that little baby that would grow and provide salvation for all who would repent and trust in Him. Desiring His Word with the delight of a child. Psalm 119, it's actually in the middle of the Bible. Longest psalm, 150 verses, I believe. Each verse talks about God's Word. But 2 of them, Psalm 119, 103 says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And verse 18, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." What do we delight in? The Broncos winning, our team winning. running my snowblower every day. What do we delight in? Are we delighting in God's Word? That is what this verse says. His delight is in the law of the Lord. This new year, ask God to give you a greater desire for His Word, that it would be your delight. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Let's read that together. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Meditating. Not something we think about or do much nowadays. Recently with Sound of Music being on TV with Carrie Underwood, it kind of reminded me of the old one. I remember at the beginning when Maria's up on the hill and they're showing scenes of the nuns down in the abbey. There's a picture of one older nun and she's just sitting there like this. That's all she's doing. How many times do we do that? How many times during the day do we just stop and think, but think specifically about God's Word? Meditating on God's Word doesn't have to end with your devotions in the morning. It can continue through throughout the day. Some people memorize a passage. Let's see, memorize Psalm 1. Papers are in there. Write it down on a card. They can have it available whenever they have a few minutes. One engineer uses his coffee break to continue his reflection on God's Word, meditating on it. Those of you that are at home, put it on the refrigerator, on the bathroom mirror. Truckers, put it on the dashboard, put a verse there. Leslie B. Flynn, I'm not sure who she is, but talks about a brilliant college student who volunteered to work at a church camp and ended up as the designated potato peeler. Really, really smart kid. And that was her job, was peeling potatoes. It's too bad, someone said to her. You ended up peeling potatoes. She said, I don't have to think about potatoes when I'm peeling them. So I think about my Bible verse for the day. Years ago, I worked for a farmer out in southeast Colorado, and it's very flat and very dry and very long. I think the field was a quarter of a mile long, and I had to go over the entire field back and forth. I think it took 2 weeks, if I remember right. So it was probably not that long, but it was a long time. Didn't have to think very much. You're just driving along. Focus on God's Word. Take that time. Whatever time you have during the day. It says, in His law He meditates day and night. How often do we take the time? How often do we have the time? How often do we make time to sit and think about God's Word? No music, iPods off, no TV, no games. Think, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Memorizing scripture is a good way. Again, there's papers in the other room. Meditation. It's not some Eastern mystical religious experience. It's not talking to yourself, but it's speaking God's word in your heart, mulling it over, ruminating. Do we know what that word is? Cows do that frequently, chewing their cud. It's called ruminating. I know it's gross. Bringing something back up and thinking about it again. That's meditation. Leslie's grandma used to talk about pondering. What's pondering? But it's a good word that fits here. Pondering, going over in your mind, thinking about it, dwelling on it. As we enter a new year, make time to meditate on his word. Let's read it once more. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3. Says he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Those of you who haven't been to Colorado, it is not all mountains. The eastern two-thirds of the state is the plains. That means flat. That means very limited vegetation. I still remember when we went back in August to Colorado. After being here in the green and the beauty of there were leaves on the trees, I remember, of summer. And we go back to Colorado, and it's brown, and there's no trees. And it's like, I want to go home. But that's what it is. And there is a beauty out there. God created that as much as here. But as you're driving along in the summer in this flat with nothing much there, occasionally you will see one tree. One very large tree, all by itself, out in literally in the middle of nowhere. Why is that tree there? How did it get there? How does it continue to grow? Usually, if you look closer, there's some hidden source of water. A windmill could have been there close by. A watering hole for animals. Sometimes it's in an old dried up creek bed. But there is some source of water that has fed and nourished that tree. The roots have grown deep. It can stand against the winds of the summer and the winds of the winter. Because the tree has roots that go down deep. When we don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, when we don't stand in the path of sinners, when we don't sit in the seat of scoffers, when we delight in His law, when we meditate on His word, we are like that tree with deep roots that stand against the storms of life. Delighting in His word is what gives us roots, is what gives us strength to stand. This would be verses 1, 2, and the first half of 3. So we're almost halfway there. Are you ready? You can still read it. Here we go. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Ready to try it? See how far we go. Thank you. I was going to say, you can be mean. Here we go. Psalm 1, 1, 2, and 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the waters, by streams of water. Oh, good. Planted by streams of water. There we go. We can bring it back now. Not bad. That's pretty good. First time. My challenge, as we enter, by streams of water. Okay. As we enter a new year, number one, delight yourself in God's word. Along on that same table that has the copy of Psalm 1, there are several different reading plans for the Bible. I would encourage you to get into the Word this year. Some of them, it's only a month. Just a month. I can't remember. There's a half sheet in there, and I can't remember how far you can go. I think it was through the book of John was one of the things. There's 21 verses. So you can easily read through that. Proverbs is another one. There's 31 chapters. So you could read one chapter a day for 1 month. If you haven't been, if you're just getting started, start small. Okay? Start with something you know you can handle. But my challenge is start. If you're ready to branch out, there's several other options. There's one, you can read through the whole Bible in 3 years. There's another one, you can read through the whole Bible in a year. That's just scratching the surface. There's all kinds of different plans on the internet, different things you can find, but look those over. See if you can find one that works for you. There, you can take them if you would like. If there is anybody that is interested in doing the Bible in 90 days, talk to me afterwards, because I would love to do it with you. We'll see. It takes about a half an hour a day. It's a cool way to start the new year. I think it's, I want to say the first day is like Genesis 1 to 17. But if anyone is interested in that, we can do it together and keep each other going. That way by the end of March, we can have read through the whole Bible. If you're interested, talk to me. But look those over. If those don't work, look and find something. some plan to get yourself into the Word. That is where our happiness can come from. That is our source, to delight ourselves in His Word. To delight yourself in the law of the Lord, to meditate on it day and night. Then we will be like those trees with the deep roots that can stand in the midst of the storms. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. First thing I would like for you to consider, has there been a time in your life when you have repented, turned from your sin, and trusted Jesus as your Savior? If you've never done that, I would encourage you to do that today. It's a matter of praying and asking God to forgive you, to come into your heart and life and change you. If you would like to do that today and never have, would you raise your hand? Just put it up and put it down so I can pray for you. Those of you that have, my challenge for you, will you get into the Word this year? Will you make the commitment today to study His Word in this new year, to seek to make it your source of happiness? If you would like to do that, would you raise your hand so we can pray together that you would like to make His Word your delight, that you would like to begin or continue reading it? Thank you. Father, we thank you for your Word. Lord, we thank you that it is truth. We ask that you would help us to make the time in our schedules for you, that we would spend time in your Word daily. Father, that you would make it the delight of our lives, that it would be our source of joy and hope and true happiness. Father, thank you that you have given us your Word, that we can know you, that we can grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen.